This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
You're listening to a new season of Transmission Time with Jane and Lauren. Unfortunately, my lovely Lauren is, well, she's off wandering around the back blocks of Australia. She evidently thinks that it's more important to go to work than it is to come in and do Transmission Time. So I did a bit of a hunt round through a lot of my friends, and after finding someone I thought would be perfect for the job, she couldn't do it either. At the last minute, found somebody, Rebecca. Welcome, Rebecca.
Good evening, Jane. Wonderful to be here with you in the studio. It's fantastic you're here, and I know you're really excited about the new season Transmission Time, but please, can you put a top on? I mean, those headlights, they're blinding me. But, you know, it's like being under interrogation, and I guess I should work with that and tell a bit about myself. What might come as a shock to some of the listeners out there is I actually transitioned from male to female about 6 or 7 years ago now. So hopefully that works in well with the format of the show tonight, and we'll see how we go along with things. But what have we got up first and foremost for the show tonight?
Well, one thing that we like to do when we sort of start a new series transmission is to go through transgender definitions, because there's a lot of confusion in the community about what is a cross-dresser, what is a transsexual.
All those things that the media like to mess around with, just to suit their articles.
And they play havoc with them. They usually get them all wrong, which is sort of not very good. So first thing we do is talk about those and try and put you in a little bit of light. Now, Rebecca, you've got the list.
I do have the list here. And number one on the list, although these aren't really in any kind of top order or anything like that, it's not the Letterman Show. We're not doing the top 10 reasons or anything like that. First one on the list is transgender, which is an umbrella term used to describe those whose gender identity is at odds with their biological sex. That includes transsexuals and cross-dressers. Now, you actually had a bit to do with this list, didn't you, Jane?
Yes, I did. I suppose one of the things I should actually declare is that I helped write this list. They're actually from the Transgender Victoria website. They were put together probably about, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. After a lot of consultation with a lot of people, this list was put together, and it's been up on their website for quite some time. One that sort of comes up a lot of time is who or what is a cross-dresser? According to currently on their website, which was as of yesterday, a person who has an inescapable emotional need to express their alternate gender identity and be accepted in that role on a less permanent basis. Many cross-dressers go on to transition to their self-identified gender.
That's certainly a road that I've been down at one point.
Me too.
You know, I never really got into the cross-dressing thing. It was a case of, okay, I put the clothes on, but okay, nothing magically happened to the body. I couldn't work it out as a 5 or 6 year old. To me, the tooth fairy was real and all those kind of things. And of course it is, yes, we all know that. But where was the cross-dressing fairy that if you put on the right clothes when you woke up in the morning, all those bits would be gone that you didn't want there? But unfortunately,
it doesn't quite work that way.
Yes, it was. So that sort of led into the next one, I guess, which is transsexual, which is a person who identifies as a member of the opposite sex, i.e. other than the birth sex. Transsexuals usually seek hormone treatment and often surgery to bring their body into line with their gender identity.
Correct. Every transsexual that I know, or every person who's gone down the route of transitioning, one of the main things is hormones. Get those hormones into you, but we'll talk a little bit about that later on. There's no need to rush.
No, you never rush hormones.
No. Gender identity. Gender identity is really the gender that the person believes themselves to be, regardless of their biological sex. In other words, there's a difference between your physical sex, as what's determined by what your body physically looks like, and what's between the ears. As I think it was Milton Diamond, I think he's based, a doctor based in Hawaii, who's had a lot to do with gender identity issues. He said, sex is between the legs, gender is between the brain.
Yeah, that comes down to that whole, ears. That comes down to that brain sex thing, doesn't it, that sometimes get referred to, that you have a sex in your brain and you also have a sex between your legs and other parts of your body. And speaking of sex, sex is a fairly simple one, which is biological sex. It's not anything that you might do in the bedroom or anything like that. It actually refers to your biological sex and your physical attributes.
Now, the next one's an interesting one. Mm-hmm. Gender reassignment surgery, or GRS. It's a surgical procedure where the sex organs of the person are refashioned to that of the gender which is appropriate to their identity. Also known as, sex reassignment surgery, SRS, or genital reconstruction surgery. Myself, I like sex reassignment surgery because to me, your gender's not being changed. It's your physical body that's being changed, i.e. the sex that you see basically on the outside.
Well, I was actually had a bit of a court case, as many people in this situation go through, and what happened was that we actually referred to it as genital realignment surgery, and that actually worked really well in terms for the court stuff. Yeah, look, there's all these kind of different terms that happen. My surgery getting a bit personal here happened in Thailand, so I call it my genital origami. And that always goes down quite well.
Next one on the list we have gender identity disorder. Now, this is explained in called the DSM-4. We haven't got to 5 yet.
No, that's been in the works for a long time now, hasn't it?
Yes. The DSM-4 is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, which is used by the medical fraternity. There's a whole lot of definitions in there of different conditions. And for years, people have been trying to get gender identity order taken out of it. Now, I think they're changing it in the version 5, but they haven't quite got there yet.
Just have to wait and see, I guess. There's still a bit of controversy about it and as to whether or not it gets defined as a psychological disorder or a physical disorder, and
correct,
whether it's a disorder at all. And so, yeah, we'll just have to wait and see what comes out in edition 5.
Well, actually, being gay used to be in one of the earlier manuals, and that got taken out. The definition is basically a medical condition believed to be of biological origin, which results in a mismatch between the gender a person believes themselves to be and the physical sex of the body. Now, there's been some research recently in Australia, we covered it a couple of years ago, on gene research, which tends to determine which way your mind is going to go. Not necessarily which way your body is going to run, but which way your mind is going to run.
But, of course, with all that stuff, there's still a lot to go and a lot to sort out. But I guess we should get into another track and get the rest of this show sorted out.
You're listening to Transmission Time on Joy 94.9.
The world should revolve around me, from Little Jackie there on 94.9 Joy FM. You're on Transmission Time with Jane and Rebecca. Now, into the news now, Jane. We're talking about school reunions and have one here from the Star Tribune. I'll just read a little bit of the article. It sounds like a great setup for drama. My spouse, Marcus, who used to be Margery, goes back to the college he attended as a woman who happens to be a women's college. How the alumni responded when one of their own shows up at their 25th reunion as a man? The worst thing to happen was that one person laughed when Marcus showed up at the registration table claiming to be a graduate, but he still got a registration packet. When he took his turn saying a few words about what he'd been up to since he graduated, his classmates responded with hearty applause, and guess what? Other than his gender transition, what Marcus had been up to was not all that different from what his classmates had been up to. He got established in a career, bought a house, served some non-profit boards, got married and adopted our daughter. The one bright spot in the survey is that transgender people who are accepted by their families fare far better in nearly every measure, and families are more likely to support their transgendered loved one than stereotypes might suggest. 43% of transgendered people maintain family bonds. So, yeah, interesting stuff there. Now, as it should happen to happen, only a couple of months ago, I went to my school reunion. Now, my school had actually closed down when I was in year 11, and I changed high schools at that stage, and we had the reunion down at a local pub that was a fairly rough neighbourhood that I grew up in.
Ooh, this is going to sound interesting.
Yeah, well, from my year level, there was only a couple of other people there, one who'd basically been on a drugs bender ever since and moved to Canberra just to show how well his life was going. And there was another woman there who I'd already knew on Facebook and so forth. We'd been chatting thereabouts and so forth. Her sister was also there, who'd never actually attended the school, didn't know me from a bar of soap. As we got talking about what various people have been up to post-school, so-and-so, yeah, she's had 4 different kids to 4 different fathers, all that kind of stuff went along. But then we got down to George, and I said, oh, what about George? And I was told by Rose that, George is actually a woman now. I went, oh, really? And that, No. Do you know what her name is? And Rose's sister piped up, oh, it'd be Georgina. Oh, why is that? Oh, because that's all those freaks do.
I don't like that word, freaks.
No, not at all. And Rose just turned bright red with embarrassment over what her sister was saying. And I just thought, I'm going to fish you along here. And so tell me, what do you know about these kind of people? Oh, they all look the same, that they sound like a big truckie and that. They look like a bloke and that, and big massive Adam's apple and all that kind of stuff. I could spot them a mile away. Oh, really? Could you spot one if they were in this room? Oh, absolutely. And that, you just point them out and you know it. I'm onto it. And by this stage, Rose is laughing her head off and trying to contain it. And her sister's carried on for a couple more minutes about all the stereotype things that you do hear out there. And I just settled there and bit my lip and went along with it. And later on, when Rose's sister left, Rose said, look, I'm really sorry about that. I didn't know my sister was like that. Look, don't worry about it. She said, what am I going to do now? I said, give it a couple of days and let her know. And I spoke to Rose online a couple of days later, and she said she had so much fun dipping her sister into that and just letting her know that she's not as bright as she thought she was.
Okay. I had a school reunion at one that I talked about a couple of years ago, my old school, Sindel Technical School, which is basically a trade school. Mm-hmm. And a small group of us were looking at having a reunion. Anyway, somebody else was looking at having a reunion, but this time they were going to have the whole of school.
And how many people would that be?
There's been about 6,000-7,000 people.
Wow.
Our kids went through the school, and I'll say kids because that's what we were at the time. And I think there were 880 registrations or something for this reunion, and this was held last Sunday.
Okay.
It was interesting to go because, I don't look anything like the person I did.
That tends to happen with this, doesn't it?
It does.
You do change your appearance slightly. I think it's the length of the hair thing. That's all that really looks different.
Well, I think in some of my younger years, when I was boy, my hair used to be longer than what it is now. I grew up in the 50s and the 60s and the long hair part and all of that.
But giving away your age a little bit there, Jane.
Sindel Tech was started in, I think, about 56 or 57, something like that. Mm-hmm. I was there between 60 and 64. Now, as part of this registration process, they wanted to know what year you were there. So they gave you these little cards which had coloured dots indicating the year. And there's a couple of people knew about my transition, but not many. Anyway, I eventually found a group from our year, and one of them just introduced me as Jane. And there's a couple of people there didn't know, and one guy there was looking at the coloured dots and looking at me and sort of wondering, well, the school didn't go co-ed until about 10 years after we left.
And it might have been the first time he's used maths since he was actually at school too, so it's probably a little bit rusty.
It could be too. Anyway, this guy used to live two doors up from me, where I lived in Mount Waverley, a long time ago. He was looking at the card, looking at me, and he's querying, what year were you there? And I said, 60 to 64. And then he looked carefully at my name, and I said, I have changed my name, but it still started with a J. And he goes, the penny dropped.
Well, I actually had the thing that when I went back to mine, someone asked me my last name, and I haven't changed my last name, and I said that. He said, oh, did you marry so-and-so, which happened to used to be me, and I said, oh, no, definitely not. Oh, do you know what happened to him? I think he died about 6 or 7 years ago. Oh, damn, that's a pity. He was a top bloke.
very good.
Yeah.
One of the things that I did find was that nobody actually sort of queried any of my history. They said, this is Jane. Oh, okay, Jane's got long hair. Her body looks a little bit different. But there were no sort of questions. In fact, this guy that used to live a couple of doors up from me, we started chatting away as though there'd been no change.
Which is good.
And I found that very interesting. I had afternoon tea today with an ex-work colleague who I'd emailed and said, he actually emailed me and said, can we meet up for afternoon tea? And I said, you need to know some information. And I sent that off. And we had afternoon tea today, which is like a reunion, except it was a little work one. There were no questions, which I thought, here's a perfect opportunity if you want to ask questions. No. And I found this with several people that I've met up with, no questions about, why are you doing this? How do you feel? They just accept.
I've actually found that with the people that I've met up with that I used to know, and they won't ask questions the first time round, but then the next time round, all of a sudden they'll be, can I ask you this? I don't want to get too personal with this, and then the questions will start. So just got to give it that little bit of time.
Quite prepared for that. I always feel that it's better to tell people and let them know a bit more, because most people just don't know anything, which is not very good.
No, not all.
I think a bit more of your music. Oh, the music tonight is all by Rebecca, so don't blame me.
I haven't actually written it. I was coerced into this the other day by Jane, who said, by the way, can you bring in some music to play? And so, we'll get into another one.
You're listening to Joy 94.9.
94.9 Joy FM, you're on transmission time here. Now, we've actually received an SMS into the studio here, and you can actually SMS us if you like on 0427 Joy949. Message says, "Hi guys, was there a show one afternoon with Jane and Paul on transgender educating the unknown similar to this one?" Jane, you might know something about
that.
Yes,
there was, because it was me and Paul. I was sort of basically co-hosting the show one afternoon with a specific agenda of talking about transgender definitions and giving just a little bit of background. It wasn't in sort of great detail. It was more or less just a bit of a summary. I hope people found it useful.
But I guess if people are after more details, they could tune in every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. To transmission time.
They certainly could.
Nice little plug there for us. Now, a little bit of bits and pieces in the news, and a bit of kudos here, first of all, to the District Attorney, George Gascon. I hope I pronounced that correctly and he doesn't sue me over it. He will refile a felony hate crime charges against two men who attacked and robbed a transgendered woman. And it says that the robbery may have occurred regardless of her gender, but the assault happened because she was transgendered. So, given the fact that case was thrown out of court, he's actually going to put it back in and say, no, this has to be dealt with correctly. So kudos to the DA there.
And there's a second nice little one that we found. It's actually from the Boston Business Journal, a very short one. Raytheon, which is, I think they're a military electronics supplier in the US, has won the top workplace equality rating from the Human Rights Campaign, advocates for lesbians, bisexuals, gays and transgender employees. What I found was interesting, this year marks the sixth year in a row that the Lexington-based defence contractor has won top ranking in the Corporate Equality Index.
And that's fantastic that they've actually won it for 6 years in a row, but let's see another company out there actually challenge them to try and knock them off so they don't get it the seventh time, because the more companies we have doing this kind of thing, the better off we all are, of course.
Correct. You're listening to Transmission Time on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Transmission Time with Lauren and Jane, except there's no Lauren, it's Rebecca.
Hello, everyone. How are you tonight?
No, we've already done that.
Sorry, I thought we were back at the start of the show again.
No, afraid not.
We're not in a Morbius strip loop of some sort, are we?
No.
Okay.
No. If you'd like to send a message, phone 1300 Joy 949, SMS us 0427 Joy 949, or of course, there's always the old email onair@joy.org.au.
And I guess you could also send us a snail mail, although we might not be able to read that one out till next week's show. Now, that last track was Runs in the Family from Amanda Palmer, from her Who Killed Amanda Palmer album. So a little bit of a theme here. Well, they haven't actually worked that one out yet, but I'm sure we'll get to it at some point. She actually put on a private concert in Melbourne last time she was here, and I was one of the 50 people that went along to that.
Ooh,
and she actually,
weren't you lucky?
I was, and she played my ukulele, so I'll never wash it again. It was fantastic.
For those that don't know sort of much about Rebecca.
Damn, I thought I got away with that moving online there.
No, she actually plays the ukulele.
Amongst other instruments as well. Let's see, started out as a drummer, then started on guitar, bass guitar. I was actually given a double bass guitar recently, so that was fantastic. Also got into the ukulele recently, which is a wonderful instrument. Don't knock it, please, Jane. And
I'm not going to say a word, except maybe one day we should get you in to actually play it.
I don't think that really fits in the context of the show, but we'll see how we go.
I don't know. We can squeeze anything into the
show. And recently on my holidays, I actually bought a trumpet as well, which I'm trying to learn how to play it. So, yes, heavy instruments will travel.
When Rebecca and I were planning the show, yes, we do plan the show, we were thinking about, from our experience, and if you're thinking of transitioning, some of the things that you should take into consideration. Now, this is not a end all, be it all list, just a few points that Rebecca and I have sort of noted.
Learned from experience, yes, I suppose, as well, that, why didn't I do that? Why didn't I think of that? Those kind of things.
And we have sort of nine of them. There's probably a lot more, but also should point out that these are from our perspective of being male to female. For the trans men, some of their priorities will be a little bit different, especially the first one,
yes,
electrolysis.
Electrolysis. Now, I've had a few issues along the way with health-wise, so I haven't actually finish my electrolysis yet, despite the fact that I started my transition back in 2004. And it's also a financial thing. You don't really realise just how much electrolysis costs. You think, oh yeah, this will go, I don't have all that much hair. And I didn't have much hair at all, and I'm still going, and it's been thousands and thousands of dollars. And getting electrolysis done is much easier when you're in a male mode than it is in a female mode. And it's terrible when you've got to grow that hair for those 3 or 4 days so there's enough there. And
so they can locate it and put the needle down the side and zap you and you go, ouch!
Yes, and then afterwards too, and that with all the because you sort of can't shave around the area if they've still got hairs there and it rashes up and it gets lumpy and that kind of thing. So try to get that out of the way early as possible.
I started on the electrolysis quite a few years ago, but then I stopped and I never got back on it, and I should...
Look, I'd say I probably have about 20 hours worth to go, but look, the cost of that...
That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money in that. Realistically, an electrolysis might charge anywhere between 70, 100, even up further from there.
Per
and
hour.
That is a per hour rate. So
it's a very, very expensive exercise. So I suppose, well, you know, one of the things that we didn't put on the list was have some money. You have to plan all your expenses, because transitioning is not a cheap exercise, especially if you want surgery later on.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Next item we had was actually to blend in. Basically, observe people of your generation. Every generation tends to dress a little bit differently, and if you want to stand out, yes, you can go and wear the ultra bright clothes.
We all know someone like that, don't we? That 60 years old dresses like they're 14 going on 20. I'm not pointing fingers at you there, Jane. Not at all. It's fantastic that now you're finally out there and you're expressing your own life and that, but you don't want to express it too much when you're out in public if you just want to just blend in and not have people pointing fingers at you.
I think in our early days, and this, I know it applies to me and probably you too, you tend to sort of, I suppose, overexpress your clothing.
And overcompensate for all those years where you didn't get to do this.
Yes, and then after a while you settle down a bit.
Probably a good way to do that is actually just go down to a shopping centre one Saturday morning or a weekday or something like that, sit there having a cafe latte and actually look at women around your age and look at what they're wearing. And
And so most of them are wearing jeans these days.
Jeans or tracky dacks or those damn jeggings. Those things really should be banned from anyone who's older than 12, I think. But
one which you came up with, make your mirror your friend.
Yes. Now, just to explain this one a little, most people who end up transitioning, known about from a very early age, and they sort of get to know as they're growing up, these are the things I'm allowed to do, these are things I'm not allowed to do, and these are the things that are expected of me. And so you sort of build up this bit of a brick wall, I suppose, that of putting out a public persona that people are used to, so they don't see the person inside. Well, get in front of that mirror and start expressing yourself and look at your mannerisms and look at your responses and your emotions and learn about them again. And so you can put them into your memory bank so you have a bit of an idea of what you're actually doing publicly.
And also the mirror gives you a very stark look at what you look like to other people.
Yes.
So be careful with your things like your makeup. I know when I started out and I was going to places like Seahorse, it'd take me 2 hours to put my face on. Now it's like about... If I spend 5 minutes, I'm lucky.
My standard thing is a bit of lippy, that'll do. I really can't be bothered with the rest of it. And yet, yeah, when I was starting out, it'd be a good 2 or 3 hours of making sure that bridal foundation was layered on in multiple layers and everything was absolutely perfect.
As Lauren normally says, put on with a trowel.
Yes, and that. I think I usually use a shotgun. I think that was a Simpsons episode where they had that, where Homer had made a shotgun that actually put makeup on, which... It was quite disturbing.
Sounds
yes.
like a bit of fun. Learn to be yourself. I suppose the reason I like this one is you have to be yourself because everybody else is taken. You develop your own sort of personality, and I think that my personality has actually changed from when I used to do boy things. Some of the changes have actually been quite subtle, but you have to learn to be yourself and act accordingly.
Yeah, all those auto responses and things like that. And I suppose what we're looking at here is that in a transition, if you did a fairly quick transition, say over the space of 12 months, basically what you're learning in that gap is what a teenage girl would learn between the ages of, say, 12 and 19. So they have all these years of getting things wrong, and believe me, they get a lot wrong. They're not perfect. No one is, but... They have a lot more time than we do to actually sort through all this stuff. So, you just got to get into it and relax, learn to be yourself, take a breath every now and then and realise, yeah, I'm going to make mistakes. I'm not going to get things quite right, but at least I'm going to give it a go.
Correct. Now, this one is very, very important. Be prepared to lose everything. Now, when we mean everything, it could mean relationships, your children, your workplace employer, your friends. You could lose basically everything in your life.
Yes, and certainly something I've experienced very well in losing everything. In fact, it's, I suppose, a bit of a kudos to my dad here. It's only in the last month or so he's actually in connection with me again.
Which is nice.
I haven't had anything for the last 8 years. which is good. And he he's actually apologised a bit for the things that they did during the early stages of all this, of trying to protect my children from me because that was their job and their responsibility and things like that. But yeah, and all the little things they did along the way, like paying my ex's court fees to ensure that I didn't see my kids. And that it's like, and he's like, yeah, look, I'm sorry we did that.
It's nice to get the apology, but it's also, you know, a long way down the track as well. But at least you're starting to get that sort of connection. And I found the same with my children, that for a year, neither of them would talk to me. And actually, now it's probably a bit longer than that. And I've slowly started to reconnect with one of my children. The other one just doesn't want to have anything to do with me.
I've basically drawn a line in the sand, and we're just starting fresh. And okay, you've sort of made life really hard for 8 years. And I mean, partly my responsibility too, and the way I went about my transition, but at least an effort is being made there. But yes, you sort of do have to be prepared to lose everything. You're thinking, oh no, I can hold on to that, and that you're just clutching at straws, really.
Research options and possibilities. There's more than one way of transitioning, and transitioning, as you said, you know, could be very fast, but I can see the transitioning goes on basically forever. There's always new things that you're learning. You're learning about yourself, things that you should or would like to do. There are a lot of possible outcomes. Not everybody has surgery. It's not essential. I think what is important is the way you feel internally. Some of us like to spend a lot of money on changing the exterior, and for some that's important, but some of the mental changes that go on inside, especially when you start taking hormones, there can be a lot of outcomes.
Isn't that a wonderful roller coaster to be on? Not. But I find that too with people I speak to that are transitioning now, and they're like, oh, so-and-so started their transition 3 months after me and they're so far ahead of me. It's not a race. And that this is you and your body, and that
take your time.
What anyone else does is entirely up to them and their body. So do it at a speed that's right for you and right for your environment.
And don't expect sort of, I suppose, miracles when you start taking hormones. The changes take time, and they can take years.
I think 5 years is about the mark, they say, for changes to sort of start to really be noticed and really take effect.
The last one is really, don't be envious of other people's progress, which you sort of touched on. Some people go through their process fast, some slow, some have a lot more resources than others, and you transition through with, especially if you want to go down the surgery route, sometimes takes a lot of money. I've heard of people spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on surgery. Others basically don't spend anything. It's what makes you comfortable is the important thing.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter how much money you spend, as long as you're right in your headspace as well, and that there's a lot of boxes you've got to tick apart from just, oh, there's that final surgery goal, which is never the final goal. But
And that's an important point. A lot of people tend to think, okay, I'm going to transition. My aim is surgery, to have the reassignment surgery. That's not necessarily the end of the route, but a lot of people see that as the end of the route, as though all my problems will be solved. No, that doesn't happen.
The streets are not lined with gold, and not everyone suddenly becomes your friend. Mm. And that doesn't happen. The surgery is just part of this journey.
That's right, yeah. And I suppose some people actually never finish their transition.
No, that time.
Anyway, you're listening to Transmission Time on Joy 94.9.
Joy FM 94.3. You're listening to Transmission Time. 94.9. I got the thing. I was really worried about doing that all night, that I'd actually get the wrong call sign.
94.9.
Thank you, Jane. Yes, we'll get that.
We used to be, was it 90.7? I think
it doesn't matter what we used to be. It's what we are now. That's what we've got to concentrate on. I've got to get it right. And that, yes, don't call out the old radio call sign from the previous station that I worked at.
But that's where. See, there's more coming out about you.
I know, but anyway.
Would you might have wanted... Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Very long time ago. But anyway, that was Logic from Operator Police from their second album, Gloves. Mm.
We actually had a very nice call from Nina, who lives out at Dalston's near Dandenong. And she's actually added to the list of things to think about. Don't cancel your private health insurance.
Very important.
Very important. As we said, the list wasn't complete, but that's one that we actually should have put on, and make sure they've got your name right and all of those things. Because if you're going down the surgery route, it certainly helps to have that little bit of cover. So some of my friends always recommended go for the top that you can afford.
Absolutely, and that is a very important thing. It's not just for the surgery. There's a lot of other things you can claim on that these days too. They're adding more and more things to private health cover every day. Mm. So,
And don't forget also that surgery is always a risk. Things can go wrong, and if things go wrong, you will certainly need that health cover.
Absolutely, yeah. actually, we'll get a little bit private there. I've actually had 12 operations now, and that are not all related to gender stuff. And I have actually had a couple that haven't gone quite right, and woken up in a different hospital in the intensive care unit and things like that. So yes, surgery is always something you should be careful with. But into a bit of news from across the ditch via stuff.co.nz. And speaking of addresses, you can actually email us, and we'd like to hear your comments on this one at onair@joy.org.au or SMS on 0427 JOY 949. Now, this is an Agony Aunt, Agony Uncle article, which says, "My child has a transgender caregiver." Dun, dun, dun. Look out. Now, getting into the article, I recently found out something very disturbing about one of the women who works there. A friend of a friend who knows her and knows that she used to be a he. And I did some digging online to confirm after I found out. Now, I don't have a problem with transgenders, but I think that a daycare should have to disclose something like this to the parents.
Why?
I'm just reading from the article, Jane. Don't shoot the messenger. I've informed some of the other parents whose kids are friends with mine, and they agree with me. Not only that, two of the families have pulled their kids out and are now taking them elsewhere. Worst of all, my oldest has been dressing in girls' clothes at kinder. I haven't told my husband this, and I'm worried that somehow he is confused by this person at daycare. Where do we start?
There are a couple of replies here. Uncle replies, because there's an auntie and uncle site. Mm-hmm. You need to lighten up, lady. You're not a protective mother of three. You're a worry wart. Secondly, the teacher's transgender, not a child molester or serial killer.
And what was that, Jane? Not a child molester or serial killer. Now, we've just got to make sure we're clear on that, because some people do confuse the two, don't they?
They do, for some reason. With all the atrocities against children that are reported day in and day out in this country, which is New Zealand, when was the last time you saw a case of a transgender person who was responsible? You say you recently found out something very disturbing. You need to drag yourself into 2011 and realise your kid's probably safer with this teacher than some others. How would your preschooler even know the gender identity of this teacher? Is she called Brian? Does her T-shirt say, "I used to have balls"? Is she standing up to pee?
Oh, the questions are endless, aren't they? And the auntie replies to, she's actually agreeing with Uncle through most of it, and also says, "Also, failure to address this means I'm not sure you're actually living up to your cliched line. Now, I don't have a problem with..." The other thing too, there's been about 200 comments about that online, and most of the comments are actually saying, "Can you please tell us which daycare centre this is so we can get our kids into it, seeing as though there's positions available, because it sounds like it's a wonderful place to send our kids."
It does.
So, that's a great one there.
Mm. One thing I remember from previous shows, research, there's a group in the US who was trying to get some sort of, again, quote, toilet bill sort of put down, because the bill was going to allow transgender people to use the male or female toilets according to their identified gender. And this group was trying to get it stopped. You know, it's all wrong. You know, the transgenders will go in there and they'll abuse our children. There was a comment from one of the police in that particular area, and he said, "I've never had a case of a transgendered person being associated with any child molestation or attacks."
Yeah, well, look, I don't know about you, Jane, but I generally find when I need to go to the toilet, it's because I need to do a wee, not to do anything else. For some reason, some people have this view that women's toilets are like a Porky's movies or something like that, and we're all running around in there naked and having fantastic times. It's not the case. You've got to go in there, get your business done, and get out as quick as you can.
Yeah, let's face it, they aren't attractive places to stay, are they?
No, not at all. And you sort of got to hold your breath for some of them too. But look, moving on to other news, Thailand, which is a place that's a little bit close to my heart, they've recently had elections there, and they've elected their first female prime minister. But Thailand's community of ladyboys, and that's a word I really hate, have complained on Wednesday, this is going back last week, that they were being marginalised in next week's general elections because their ID cards were too confusing for polling officials. In the latest in a series of gripes about members of the Trans Female Association of Thailand, which groups transgenders and transsexuals collectively known as Katoeis, "We have a big problem when we use our ID cards in banks, schools, hospitals, and now when we vote," says Yolanda Sanyanik, and I do apologise for the pronunciation of that name. I have no idea if I'm anywhere close. "The picture may show a woman, but it says Mr. on the card, or the picture may show a teenage boy, and the person now looks like a woman, because in Thailand they have to have an ID card from the age of 15. Transgenders and transsexuals are accepted in Thailand more readily than most other countries, with one new airline hiring only Katoeis as cabin crew."
Which I found was very interesting. The one airline basically was going to go out there and say, I don't know whether they're using it as a marketing tool or what, because there's I think there's a lot of interest in, mm-hmm. in transgendered people, especially sort of in Asia, because a lot of them look absolutely fabulous.
Yes. She just, damn it, I wish I had that height and that shoe size.
That's that envy thing coming in that we're talking about. Well, they do look very nice.
Yes, because Bangkok is a world centre for people seeking sex changes or sex reassignments, according to the article. Said that it does not have exact figures on how many people visited the city for such operation. Mm.
There's not only sex reassignment surgery over there, you've also got lots of facial surgery goes on as well, which is something we probably haven't talked too much about in the past.
No. I remember when I was over there, basically they let me know that behind tourism, surgery was one of the biggest things for the country, and so they actually prided themselves on having good facilities and everything there.
Oh, they have first-class facilities. Mm. Yeah, very good. Anyway, you're listening to Transmission Time on Joy 94.9. This is the first program.
It's like we're laying down railway tracks as we go, aren't we? It's like that Wallace and Gromit film and that, trying to get things sorted out. Which track are we up to next? What bit of paperwork are we on to?
If you can see the studio at the moment, there's paper from one end of it to the other. We're getting a little bit confused, I think.
Yes, but
never mind.
Look, getting into the next bit of news, I guess. Fair Go Sport promoting sexual and gender diversity in hockey.
You're a sporty sort of person, aren't you?
Not anymore, unfortunately. I've actually been medically retired by my doctor. He said, you can't have any more knee reconstructions. We need to start replacing things. And at my age, I'm a bit too young to get that done. So it really hurts standing on the sideline instead of being in there playing sport. Yes, I've had quite a bit to do with sport, cricket, hockey, football, golf, competitive swimming. Basically, you name it, I've done. I threw myself into sport, particularly when I was a lot younger, and wish I could still do it now. But the Fair Go Sport is a project that aims to increase awareness of sexual and gender diversity in hockey and promote safe and inclusive environments and develop a flexible mode of engagement that can be adapted to other sports and other governing bodies. Now, the reason they chose hockey is it's really a family sport. There's men's teams, there's women's teams, there's mixed teams, there's kids' teams. So it is really an inclusive sport. So why not start there? And with playing sizes, there's not too many people taken to the field at one time. They've done pretty well with that. And I think that research has just about ended. It was a year-long program, so we'll see what happens from there. And they're actually doing quite well. But yes, I looked at that article and thought, I just want to get back on the sport. Just one more.
Well, to me, hockey sort of has always seemed a very violent sport. They all carry these weapons around, especially ice hockey, that they seem more intent in hitting the other person than they do the puck.
We see, I was the weird one. I was actually the one standing in the goals with all that padding on, and my objective was to take people out. Look, when I actually did my last knee, which happened last September, before I even hit the ground, I thought, oh no, there goes my cricket season. So it just shows how bad I am with sport.
Oh, okay. Now, we've got time for one last little article.
Wow, it's gone quick.
The hour's gone very quickly. Mm. This comes out of the US. The YMCA board, and Rebecca's doing all the hand signs here.
Works well on radio. This is the most visual show on radio, isn't it?
Works very well on radio. It has decided to extend its non-discriminatory policy, which protects GBLTI employees and members, to organisations that meet at their facilities. This decision is based on the WISE responsibility to represent our organisation's values in all our partnerships. Well, evidently they've decided to kick out a Boy Scout group because they don't share the same sort of standards, and this is actually from Chapel Hill Charbro in the US. So evidently the Boy Scouts of America is a program that organizations such as the YMCA and other faith-based organizations use as part of their youth outreach program, and the YMCA is very concerned that people aren't going to be treated accordingly, and a lot of people get rejected.
Well done, YMCA there. And I suppose this is that, getting back to that thing, that just because something doesn't directly affect you doesn't mean you shouldn't take a stand on it.
Anyway, we have to get out of here. The hour's gone very quickly. So it's good night from Jane.
And it's good night from Rebecca. And thanks for tuning in.
Good night.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.